chapter number 3. The book of Revelation, chapter number 3. I want to say to you again this morning that I'm excited about being in the Lord's house. I'm more excited about the fact that I'm saved. And I'm more excited about the fact that when I leave this world, I know where I'm going. I'm glad this morning that I know where I came from. And I'm glad I know where I'm at. And I'm glad I know where I'm going. Hallelujah. No mystery to me. You know, these kids today, rearing up in our schools today, they're taught a different thing than what this Bible teaches, many of them. That's why it's so important to be in a good Bible-believing church. Where you can hear the truth. Because Jesus said this, that's what sets you free. Not the amount of education you have, that's not what makes you free. Not the amount of material goods you have, that's not what makes you free. Not the amount of money you have, or what kind of degrees you may have, those are not the things that makes you free. Jesus said the truth is what makes you free. And the truth is not about a set of facts on a piece of paper. The truth is about a man called Jesus. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Think about that. I'm the way. He's the only way. He's the only way out of sin's dilemma. I want to tell you, sin will present many, many, many roads to follow. And the question comes to me sometimes, and sometimes when I'm talking to somebody that will listen, and we're living in days when there are fewer and fewer people that want to listen, don't want to hear the truth. But I ask this question to a person that's not been saved, but they've been in church. They go to church once in a while, and they've got a hollow profession, but it don't ever seem to work. And so the question that I ask sometimes is this: when will you ever get tired of going down that one-way road? Dead-end road. You get down so far and come to a dead end, and it doesn't work. I think about before I was saved, I traveled down those roads a lot. Down those dead-end roads. I'd think this is going to work. And it worked for a while, but then you come to a dead end and realize that all that you've done, every step you've made, has been in vain. Until one day, I met this man called Jesus. I ran square right face to face with him in the truth. Through a gospel tract. He told me the truth, Brother Chris. He told me the truth. And that truth, when I believed that truth, it set me free. And for 54 years, I've been a free man. Bless his name. In your Bible this morning, the book of Revelation, chapter number 3, I want to read two verses, verse 7 and 8. Verse 7 and 8. The Bible says, and to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. Verse 8 says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. For the past 3 or 4 Sundays, I've been preaching on the subject of these open doors that I find in the Bible. I have found this door in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse number 8. And I have found that this is a door of unlimited opportunity. The door of unlimited opportunity. There are some things that we're limited in what we can do. But here's a door that the Lord has opened unto the church That is a door of unlimited opportunity. I read these verses in the Bible, and I'm telling you, my heart just jumped up in my throat. That well that was in me began springing up. That water that Jesus gave me a drink of that we preached about here on a Wednesday night, that well of living water that Jesus put in us, that's springing up into everlasting life. When I read this verse, these two verses, in the book of Revelation, that I could just feel that water begin to rise. I mean, that springing water just began to rise. Now, being a country boy, growing up in the country, I was with my brother-in-law. He was in the well digging business. He dug wells by hand, these big old wells this big around, sometime down to 40 or 45 feet deep, dig those wells down in the ground. Put a box over that well and put a contraption on there. They called it a windlass, and they'd put a rope on that windlass and wind it up with a handle and put a bucket on the end of that rope and let that rope wade down into that well. And that's the way they'd draw their water up out of that well. And I thought about how blessed we are as Christians that, listen, I don't have to have a long rope to get a drink of water. Jesus said, I'll give you a drink of water that will be in you a well that is springing up unto everlasting life. That is an artesian well. That water just rises in that well, and it just gets to where, if you're not real careful, it'll start running out along about right here. Amen. And, you know, what a joy it is when that well, you can feel that water as it begins to spring. And I thought about, since being saved by the grace of God, how good God was to me, that He would open a door for me to be saved by God's grace. I can say to you this morning that I love my wife. I love her with all my heart. I've loved her for almost our whole life. I love my children. I love my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. I love this church, the Morningstar Baptist Church, and these people that are in this church. I love this church. But none of that would ever have happened were it not for the Lord's love for me and saving me by His marvelous grace. I'm so glad that He opened up that door of opportunity that I could turn from my sin and accept Christ as my Savior and be saved. What a wonderful opportunity that was for me. You know, as I was growing up, I had several opportunities of doing different things that I could have been several different things. I always thought I wanted to be a truck driver, but you know, when the Lord saved me, He took that out of my heart. I always thought I wanted to be a builder, but when the Lord saved me, I still had that in my heart to do some of that. But listen, God finally took that out of my heart. I used to love to do a lot of fishing, but He's almost took that out of my heart. He's almost took all the hunting out of my heart. You say, preacher, what do you do for fun? I don't have to do anything for fun. Just living for Jesus is great.
Amen.
It's better than catching fish. It's better than coon hunting. It's better than deer hunting. I'm not fussing at you guys that coon hunt. I'm not fussing at you guys that deer hunt or you guys that fish. I'm not fussing at you at all. I'm just telling you that, hey, God did something in my heart. He opened a door of opportunity for me to be saved by the grace of God. And when God did that, He began to put things in my heart. He began to put things in my life that just matter so much more than these other things. And don't get me wrong, I still love to go wet a hook. I love to do that. But my wife can tell you I'm not in love with it like I used to be. Because, listen, I used to go fishing every chance I got. Two or three times, I think it was summer before last, I'd get my pontoon out of the shed and I'd pull it out there in the yard and I'd work a half a day on it. And, you know, out there just cleaning it up, washing it off, getting the dust off of it, getting the motor where it crank, and getting everything just like it ought to be. And then over an afternoon, I'd go put it back in the shed. My wife said to me, I thought you were going to go fishing. I said, I was. I was going to go. But when I got that boat cleaned up, got it ready for the lake, I was too tired to go. And so I just didn't do it. But listen, I want to speak to our hearts this morning about this door of unlimited opportunity. My mind has went in so many directions since God began to deal with me about this that I can't get them all together. But could I say to our Lord's seven letters to the churches in Asia Minor, only two did not receive any sort of correction or rebuke. One was the letter to the church of Smyrna in Revelation 2:8-11, and the other to the church in Philadelphia. While the letter to the church in Smyrna is a challenging for them to remain faithful unto death, this letter to the Philadelphia church is filled with compliments and praise. Now, I stopped and I thought about this. The other five churches that mentioned in the book of Revelation, Jesus had something to say against those churches. But here, this church of Philadelphia, Jesus didn't, he just had good things to say about this church. I thought about Morning Star Baptist Church. There's some folks that have bad things to say about us. I don't know where they get them from. But listen, I want this church to be a church that is thought of well. Amen. That is the kind of church that it ought to be. The kind of church that, you know, there are people that don't agree with us about the music. That's their problem, not ours. There are people that don't agree with us about the Bible that we use. That's their problem. That's not ours. But I'm here to tell you, beloved, that I want this church, Morning Star Baptist Church, to be a church that Jesus has no complaints about. Amen. You can complain about it all you want. Others can complain about it all they want. But if it's the church that Jesus has no complaints about, that's the kind of church I want Morning Star Baptist Church to be like. Amen. And you and I that are saved by the grace of God, we ought to want Him to think this about every one of us. That I want to be the Christian that Jesus wants me to be. I want to be that church member that Jesus wants me to be. I want to be that member that He has nothing against. I want to be that member that there's no fault to be found in Him. Yes, every one of us are going to have our little times when, you know, we do things that aren't right. We say things that we shouldn't say. Our attitude gets bad about some things. And, you know, but I'm glad that God made a way where we can fix that. In 1 John 1:9, if we will confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't think it was a mistake this morning. I don't think it was coincidence that we've been singing about the blood. Because it's the blood that cleanses. Amen. Now, you know, I'm glad that, hey, without shedding of blood, put on your listening ears and listen to me for a moment. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There's no cure, there's no remedy, there's no way out of sin except through the blood. Amen. Except through the blood. Brother John Robinson, I notice you got two of your grandsons with you there this morning. Is that right? You remember when you got saved? I remember when you got saved. I remember it. I remember it as though it were yesterday. I remember when Brother John Robinson got saved. I remember he confessed his sin. He said, "Lord, I'm tired of this life that I'm living." And John was a good man. John was a working man. He was a hard working man. John was a good neighbor to his neighbors. He was a good friend to his friends. But my dear friend, he needed to be saved. And I remember when John Robinson got saved by the grace of God, and it was by the blood of Jesus Christ. He came and said, "Lord, forgive me my sin." And the Lord forgave him his sin. And I'll tell you, that man's never been the same since. Aren't you grateful for that door of opportunity that God opens up, that men can be saved by the grace of God? Every one of us that are saved in this building has a similar story to tell, and it all starts with the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, it may be a good thing that Cameron's not here this morning. He's at work. I saw that boy, listen, the devil trying him from the top of his head to the sole of his foot. Making him work on a Sundays, and he hates working on a Sunday. There's some folks that'd rather work on Sunday than go to church, but Cameron would gladly give somebody else that day and him be in the house of God. And the last report I read from him on Facebook, he said, "But I'm glad that God, that our church has two services, one of a morning and one of a night. I'll at least get to be there in the night service." I thought if he was here this morning, I'd know where he'd be sitting right over here. And we're preaching about the blood, singing about the blood, singing about this door of unlimited opportunity. And my dear friend Cameron would probably be up a shouting and a praising God. He might would just even have him a running spell this morning. And so, as you read this letter to the Philadelphia church, you become quickly aware that this is a church that the Lord is using for His glory. In fact, down through history, the kind of churches that God has used most often fit into the Philadelphia mold. I want this church to fit into that mold, don't you? Oh, my dear friend, I want the Lord to look down at us and say, there's a church that I can do something with for my glory. Amen. Listen to your pastor this morning, church. I can't live your life for you. I can't obey the Lord for you. I can only live the life that God's given me. I can only do those things that I can do for His honor and His glory. But you have a pastor that loves the Lord. Whether you acknowledge it or not, I want to tell you I love Jesus with all my heart. He's number one in my life. My wife is not number one. As much as I love her, she's not number one in my life. Jesus is number one in my life. I will tell you why I love Him so. It's because He first loved me. Amen. He loved me when I was unlovable. He loved me when no one else could love me. He loved me when I was a rascal. He loved me when I was a vile sinner. He loved me when I drank alcohol. He loved me when I played cards. He loved me when I gambled. He loved me when I was out there on the hills of sin. He loved me then. I come to find out about that love through that gospel track. And I'll tell you, I found that He loved me more than my wife could ever love me. He loved me more than my mama could ever love me. He loved me more than my family could ever love me. He loved me more than anybody could love me. You know, most of us, we have this love for people. We love people that's easy to love. We don't hardly want to love them that's hard to love. We want to love them that love us back. We don't love them that hate us. We don't love them that differ with us. We don't seem to want to love them that don't believe the same things we believe. But I'm telling you, that was us before we ever met Jesus Christ. We were aliens to Him. We were at enmity with Him. We were far off from Him. But I'm glad that He loved us when we were unlovely. He loved us when no one else could. And I listen, this is the kind of church I want Morning Star Baptist Church to be. I want us to be the kind of church that'll love people. Amen. That will just love people like Jesus loves people. Amen. I'm glad that God can take care of our faults. He can take care of our wrongs. I'll tell you, it's the love of Christ that constrains me. It's His love that constrains me. When I found out who He was, when I found out what a good friend He is, when I found out what a good person He is to work for, I wanted to work for Him. Amen. I wanted to be a close friend to Him. I didn't just want Him to be a friend to me. I want to be a friend to Him. Think about here, this Church of Philadelphia is a church that Jesus could look at and say, that's a church that I can do something with for my glory. We have just come through our 18th missions conference here at Morning Star Baptist Church. My prayer and my desire for our church is that we'll be the kind of a church that the Lord can look down upon and say, there's a church that I can use for my glory. If He cannot use us for His glory, what good are we? I don't want to just be a religious person. I don't want to be a person that just goes to church so I can say to somebody, I went to church. I want my experience with Him to be real. I mean real.
Amen.
I want him to look down at my life and say, there's a man that I can count on. There's a man that I can use for my glory. There's a person that I can use. Listen, what a wonderful door of opportunity that has opened up to us. I would like for us to fit this Philadelphia mold as a church. I believe it would be worth our time this morning to look at this passage and examine for ourselves the characteristics of a church that God uses. Then let us see whether or not Morning Star Baptist Church fits the mold. If it does, then praise God, let us go forward. But if it doesn't, then let us not waste our time trying to change the mold, but let us change ourselves to fit into that mold.
Amen.
I thought about this was a church blessed by the Lord. He had given them an open door for ministry, and he promised to keep that door open for them in spite of all the others might try to do to close that door. I thought about our church here at Morning Star Baptist Church, how the Lord has opened some wonderful doors. And I wrote down some things on my bulletin this morning. I turned it inside out and had a place to write on it. I just want to show you some opportunities that God has given us. I mean, wonderful opportunities that God has given us in this church. Number one, God, I want you to think about the missions program in Morning Star Baptist Church. For 17 years, as we know this missions program now, God has opened this wonderful door of opportunity for this church, Morning Star Baptist Church, to reach around the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Brother Tommy, it's as though I'm there preaching in Asia. It's as though I'm there preaching in Africa. It's as though I'm there preaching in South America. It's as though I'm there in Alaska. It's as though we as a church are all over this world. What a wonderful door of opportunity God has opened to us. God could have kept that door closed and we could be sitting here beside the road dried up. I see right now some of you don't understand that. Some of you don't have the capability of rejoicing in what a wonderful privilege it is that God has opened this great door of opportunity. You see, it's not just to preach the gospel right here at Morning Star Baptist Church, but through missions, we're preaching the gospel around the world.
Amen.
If you're not reading the letters that come from the field, you're missing a real blessing. There are very few folks ever being saved in our church here at Morning Star Baptist Church. Every now and then we see somebody saved. But I'm telling you, through the missions program of Morning Star Baptist Church, there are people being saved all around this world. Almost daily people are being saved. What a wonderful door of opportunity this is for us and has been. I want to remind you that though the Lord has opened this door, the Lord has the ability to close this door also. He could close this door for us. My heart would be broken if He closed this door, this wonderful door of opportunity for us. That's why I encourage you to be involved in missions. Listen, it's not something for us to brag about. It's something for us to be humbled about that God would use this little group of people to do such a great work around the world. I want to tell you how privileged we are, church. What a privilege it is for us that God's opened this door of opportunity for us to minister. I think about there's the gospel tracts that God has given us. I stand here before you often and I say to you that everybody in our church knows that was a means that God used to bring me into the kingdom of God through a gospel tract. And yet, my dear friend, the people out there say, amen, preacher. Yeah, I believe that. I know that. But how often do we take one of these gospel tracts and put it in the hands of somebody else? It's a wonderful door of opportunity. What a door of opportunity it was for that man there on that Saturday afternoon, standing there at that hardware store with a gospel tract in his hand and handed it to a sinner boy. Never realizing, maybe he realized more than I give him credit for, But he undoubtedly had faith in those gospel tracts or he wouldn't be there. But my dear friend, listen, if no one else, if nobody else would have ever read one of those gospel tracts, hey, I read it. And the Lord spoke to my heart through that gospel tract. The Lord convicted my heart of sin. The Lord opened up the door of heaven for me that I could be saved through that gospel tract. And my dear friend, what a wonderful open door of opportunity it is still for us today to give out these gospel tracts. We try to make sure. Miss Pam said to me last week, said, "Preacher, we're running low on gospel tracts. Should I order some more?" I said, "By all means." We have had testimony of people that have got this little tract in their hand. I've told you about the woman in Spartanburg out at Westgate Mall that called me years ago and said, "Preacher, I just want to know, is it true? I just want to know, is it true?" I said, "What are you talking about?" She said, I picked up this little booklet that was on my windshield from Morningstar Baptist Church on God's Simple Plan of Salvation. And she said, "I read it and I just want to know, is it true?" I said, "Sure, it's true." She said, "Could I come and pay a visit?" I said, "Sure." So my wife and I came to my office right back there. She drove from Spartanburg down here, came in that office with tears running down her face, that little gospel tract in her hand, and said, "Preacher, I just want to know again, is it true?" I said, "Yes, it's true." She said, "I've did what it said." I said, "Well, if you've done what it said, then God will do what He said He would do." She handed me a piece of money and she said, "Preacher, I want you to buy some more of these and give them out to other people." Amen. Listen, we have those gospel tracts here. We have them in Spanish. We have them in English. What an open door of opportunity God has given us to get the gospel out. Every person in this building can become a preacher, a missionary. Yes, we have missionaries come in going all around the world. But how about our Jerusalem? How about our Samaria? How about here at home? You say, "Preacher, I can't talk." You don't have to. This will talk for you. I wonder what it is that's so embarrassing to give somebody such good news. Why would that embarrass any Christian? We ought to look at it as a wonderful opportunity that God has given us. God's opened this wonderful door that we can give out this silent preacher. My son Jimmy called me yesterday and he said, he always calls me on a Saturday night. He called me last night, it's about 8:30. And I asked him, I said, "Jim, how you doing?" He said, "I'm a little tired." I said, "What have you been doing?" He said, "Me and Carolyn and another lady in our church, we've been out hanging gospel tracts on doorknobs for about 2.5 hours. He said, "We visited about 200 homes this afternoon." And I thought about what a door of opportunity. Somebody going to open their door and there's going to be a message to them of where they can go to a good local Baptist church, where they can be saved by the marvelous grace of God, how they can have their sin forgiven. I'll tell you, that is a glorious thing. It's far better than that TV that we have in our house or that radio that we have in our car. I believe the Lord for these past 17 years has opened that great door of opportunity for us here at Morningstar. And the wise thing to do is just keep stepping through these doors that He's opened, because when the Lord has determined to bless a church, nobody can stop it. God has looked down upon the Morningstar Baptist Church, as weak and feeble and as small as we are. God has chose to bless us. Amen. I'm telling you, church, He has blessed us. Amen. I stand before you this morning as an evident token of God's blessings, and I'm telling you that God has blessed us because of our faithfulness to Him in doing what He's called us to do. God has been good to me. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. And this doesn't apply to anybody in this building but me. I believe I'm as healthy as I am today because of God's smiling upon me. Last year this time, I went through that cancer surgery. I had no earthly idea whether I would live or die from it. I know the doctor said the surgery was successful, but they'd found those cancer cells in some of the skin and had to take that radiation treatment. And as bad as that was, yet God was with me through all of that. God gave me assurance. Before I had that surgery, God promised me that He's going to be with me. He would take care of me. He promised me that in Joshua 1:9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong, be of good courage, be not afraid, for I am with thee, saith the Lord. God promised me. He didn't promise me that He's going to cure me from that cancer. He didn't promise me that I wouldn't die from it. But He did promise me He would be with me in it. And He has been. Every day since then He has been in it. And I went to the doctor this past Monday, had that PET scan, clear. Went to the cancer doctor on Tuesday, did blood work, clear. He said, I'll see you again in 6 months. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, my dear friend, hey, I've got much to praise God for. God opened the door of opportunity for me, and I intend to use it by the grace of God. I believe our health is directly correlated with our relationship with God. I believe you can help yourself. I believe you can hurt yourself. I'm going to do everything I can to help myself. Aren't you? Sometimes God will allow a church or a ministry to face closed doors. You say, preacher, what if God were to close this door? What would we do? Well, I'll tell you what we'd have to do, just wait patiently before Him. That's all we could do until He opens the door that needs to be opened. All of God's doors, both those that are opened and those that are closed, are a blessing if you look at it in the right sense. I'm telling you, church, listen, sir, you're married to a wonderful woman, that's your wife. God opened that door for you. Wife, you're married to a good husband, God opened that door for you. Cherish that door. Amen. Cherish that relationship. Nurture that relationship. It could close. There's been many a door have closed that's never been opened again. So I want you to think about that. We're often guilty of sometime, it probably means that this was a small church. Jesus said, you have a little strength. And I believe that means that they were probably a small church with limited resources and few workers. But what they saw as weakness, I believe Jesus saw as strength. And I'm going to say this to you, and I want you to listen. I would that every person in Morningstar Baptist Church was a worker in this church, was a giver in this church, was a part of this church in desiring to reach out and bring people to God. I wish every person in this church were that way. But if nobody else does, it shouldn't affect me at all. I read one day, I hadn't been saved very long. It does you good to read. Read about some of the old preachers. Read some of the old timers, what they had to say about things. Did me good to read. I'd read Dwight L. Moody, and I'd read Charles Spurgeon. I'd read about C.I. Schofield. I'd read about these missionaries. Dwight L. Moody said this. He was on the streets of London, England. He pastored a church in Chicago, Illinois. But Dwight L. Moody said this on a street in England. Dwight L. Moody said, it is yet to be seen what God can do with one man. One man that would completely yield himself to God. I want to be that man that's yielded to the Lord. Who knows what could happen here in Pacolet, South Carolina, at Morningstar Baptist Church if every one of us would take this into our heart and our mind and say, listen, if I would just be obedient to God and our whole church were to be obedient to Him, what God couldn't do, Dale, through us. Amen. Now, the question comes to my heart like this. Why wouldn't we want to be that church? Why would we not want to be that church that's completely yielded to God? Jesus said further in the book of Revelation, Jesus said this, had this to say about those that are neither hot nor cold. He said, you make me sick. One foot in the church and one foot in the world. Jesus said, that makes me sick. Miss Myra, that's what he said exactly. Because you're neither hot or cold, I will spew thee out of my mouth. I hear people say something, well, you know, so-and-so just sitting on the fence of do nothing. There is no fence of do nothing. Jesus said, you're either for me or you're...
Amen.
Get back in there or against me. Amen. Sometimes his teeth get in the way of me talking. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Remember what Paul, what God said to Paul in Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
If God be for us. Now, here's what we need to do, church. We need to make up our mind about this. Is God for us?
Amen.
I believe he is.
Amen.
I believe he is. He said, if God be for us, who could be against us? I got a little plaque on my door back there that every time I go in that door and come out, I read it coming out, said, God and I can do anything. Not me and God, but God and I. I used to have this little sticker on my bumper on my car. God is my co-pilot. I took it off one day. I heard a preacher preach and he said, that ain't right. God's the pilot.
Right.
He's to sit in the driver's seat. You see, somebody got that little sticker wrong. God is my co-pilot. Putting God second. No, God is the pilot. If there's a co, it ought to be us. I'm a co-worker. Yeah. God's not a co-God. He is God and I'm the co. Bless his holy name. The Bible was this church's standard of faith. The Bible. They refused to deviate from the Bible. My friends, the Lord has blessed the church that is faithful to the Word of God. Why? I believe God will always bless the church that is faithful to his Word. I believe that with all my heart. Obedience to the Word of God is proof of our love for God. John 14:16, because we love Him, we hold His Word in high regard, and those that honor Him, He will honor them. I believe that with all my heart. Why would we not want to honor Him? They were not ashamed to preach salvation by faith through grace. I'll tell you, it's always got to be that way. The real preaching is that we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. They wanted the world to know about their glorious Lord. I want to ask this question. I'm full of questions today, and I want to ask this question. If he is so much to us, why would we not want to share him with everybody else? If he's so much to us, why would we not want to tell others about him? Because this church made much of Jesus, he made much of them. And I'm telling you, church, if we will make much of Jesus here at Morningstar Baptist Church, he will make much of us. Not everyone was happy with this church. I want to tell you, whenever a church seeks to fit into this Philadelphia mold, there's not everybody going to be happy at that church. There's people that are not happy with this church because of the Bible we preach, because of the songs that we sing, because of the stand that we take. There are people that are unhappy with our church because of various and different things. But I'll tell you what ought to make us happy is that man called Jesus.
Amen.
The true church has always had a target on them. I deal with some people about this now, preachers that think, you know, everybody ought to be in love with them. Everybody ought to be in love with the church, and everybody ought to think, well, we want that to happen. But I'm telling you, the church does have enemies, and sometimes they're not out there. Sometimes they're in here.
Amen.
You can't get any better than Jesus. Can't get any better than him. And I'll tell you, Jesus had enemies. He had 12 disciples, and one of them was the devil. The Lord's promise to this church is that time will prove who the Lord was really blessing. The challenge is to remain faithful in spite of all the people, all that people are saying. Just keep serving, keep living, keep preaching, keep worshiping, and when the dust has settled and you come to the end of the road, it will really tell who is and who isn't. There's going to come a shaken up day that's going to really prove who is and who isn't. This is the kind of church that God looks at. And in verse number 8, the Philadelphia church demonstrated the attributes of dependability, dedication, and devotion. I want to stress those three words to us. Dependability. Can he depend on us as individuals? This church is only as strong as its weakest link. I'll tell you, I'm a practical person. I do a lot of outside work. I've got chains, I've got ropes, and I don't care. You can have a log chain. Brother John, you've been in the logging business for a long time. You can have a log chain. That every link in that log chain is strong, and there can be in the middle, it could be toward the end, the front, or the back, but there could be one link in that chain that somehow something has got to it, it didn't develop right, it didn't mold right, and if that chain ever breaks, you know where it's going to break? Where that weak link is. I've prayed for my entire church life. God, don't ever let me be that link in the church that's weak. I want to be a strong member of the church. I haven't said this in a long time. It may just be a good place to put it in. When you joined the church, how much of the church did you intend on joining? Hello? How much of the church did you intend on joining? Just the Sunday morning service? There's some folks, that's all the church they belong to, is a Sunday morning church. I'll tell you, when my wife and I were saved, I told you about this before, when we were saved, listen, we determined that we was going to get in church. We were going to be there for Sunday school. We're going to be there for Sunday morning preaching. We're going to be there for Sunday night preaching. We're going to be there for Wednesday night preaching. We're going to be there for revival meeting. They have a singing. We're going to be there. Whatever the church is doing, we're going to be involved in it. Is that true, Miss Bobby? We joined the whole church. We knew what we were getting. And the church didn't know what they were getting in us. You know what this church is. You know what this church stands for. This church opens its doors every Sunday morning for Sunday school, every Sunday morning 11 o'clock, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, unless there is some reason that we don't. You know what the church is. Amen. I'll tell you, when my wife and I joined the church, we joined Sulphur Springs Baptist Church, and we joined it to be involved in everything they did. I even sung in the youth choir, and I was 24 years old, 25, sung in the youth choir. Amen. I would have joined the WMU, but my wife told me, you can't join that. That's a women's thing in the church. Women's Missionary Union. I just want to get into everything I can get into. Amen. I want to ask you this question. We'll close. Would you join me in asking God to clean us out? Fill us up and set before us the doors that please Him. Not the doors that please us, but the doors that please Him. Would you join me in praying for Morningstar Baptist Church this morning? Friends, I want Him to use us greatly, this church. And He will, if we'll meet His conditions. We need to work on our walk with God as individuals. Would you agree? Every one of us needs to work on our walk with God as individuals and as a church. Will you join me as I seek the Lord for the future of this church, realizing that the future is in heaven is bright, but I want our days down here to be bountiful with God's blessings on us as well. Yes, we got a wonderful heaven that we're going to. But there ought to be some kind of joy in the journey. Amen. Would you join me in these things this morning? Let's stand together. Miss Holly, if you'll come. I know the service has been a little long. I have no apology for that. It could have been longer if I would have preached all that I had in my message to preach this morning. But I feel like I've preached what God put in my heart. That He has opened a wonderful door of opportunity. I didn't get around to the CDs. I didn't get around to the book ministry, the van ministry. I didn't get around to a lot of things that God has opened the door for, the nursing home ministry. Brother Tim's going to be going to White Oak Estates in a little while to preach the gospel to those folks over there that can't go to church. What a wonderful door of opportunity that is for our church. They have given us every Sunday to have a preacher there from our church. Sharing the good news of the gospel. What a wonderful open door of opportunity that is to be able to go there and do that. While your heads are bowed and praying, the altar is always open here. Need a closer walk with Him, right? This altar would be a good place to start that closer walk with Him as a Christian. There may be those in our midst this morning who say, "Preacher, I'm not a Christian. I've never been saved, and I don't know anything about this Christianity, but I wish you'd remember me in prayer." And you just lift up your hand. I'll not come to you, I promise. You just lift your hand and say, "Preacher, would you pray for me?" Anybody in this building? Lift your hand. Say, "Preacher, would you pray for me?" This is an open door of opportunity for you to get prayer. Would you lift your hand? Say, "Preacher, pray for me." I want to read that verse 8 again before we would leave this morning. The Lord says, "I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door." Well, what a wonderful privilege that we have that God would set before us this open door. Or these open doors. "And no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength. And hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name."